We're going to call this meeting to order of the subdivision of the Public Safety Department, the corrections. Representative Zerwas, if you had an opportunity to review the minutes.
Mr. Chair, I've reviewed the minutes, and I'd like to make the motion to move the minutes at this time.
Thank you. Representative Zerwas, all in favor of passing the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Today, we're going to have actually two informational hearings. This is an informational two.
Yes.
We missed the posting deadline. Our committee administrator has been extremely ill. In fact, I don't think he should be here today.
Hence the honey, the tea, the...
Yes. So he has a really good reason. So we will hear both bills today and move them on, and we'll bring them back at a later, to the full committee. So, okay, first off, we have Representative Tafke. Are you making your way to the... And because they're informational, we will not be having any motions about moving them on and things. Representative Tafke, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you very much. This is my first bill hearing, so I apologize first that I left Shakopee at 5:45 this morning to make sure to get here on time today, and the treats are still on my counter at home. So I'm going to execute a loophole that I just created that we have a informational hearing, but this will have to come back to us for action. So that's what I'm told as of right now is the official time for treat being necessary. I'm just going to run with that.
You could have done two treats.
could have. But I wouldn't have. So, again, thank you, Mr. Chair. Today we have before us House File 733, which is an initiative of the Minnesota Sheriff's Association to authorize the use of low-dose X-ray body scanning devices for the purpose of scanning incoming inmates to correctional facilities for concealed weapons, drugs, communication devices, and other contraband that pose serious risks to the safety and security of jail staff and inmates. The House of Representatives last year passed similar language that was included in the omnibus bill that was vetoed by Governor Dayton in 2018. Last year, there was also no opposition to this bill. The language contained in House File 733, the one we are hearing today, is the same language contained in the bill vetoed last year. So the Minnesota Department of Health regulates X-ray devices used in Minnesota. Current law appears to limit the use of these scanners to medical settings, and this bill would authorize their use in local and state correctional facilities. And with me today, we have Commander Dave Patchell of the Anoka County Sheriff's Office to provide testimony and answer any questions that we have about this bill. So I would welcome the Commander up. Sheriff.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for letting me talk on this very important topic.
Please state your name and title for the record, please.
My name is David Paschal. I'm a commander with the Anoka County Sheriff's Office. I oversee jail operations. I've been doing this for about 33 years now. Basically, this bill is to help us address the problems affecting our jails, correctional facilities, and workhouses in Minnesota. The issue is contraband. Contraband has been with us in jails since I started, and probably well before that. But the contraband we dealt with back then was fairly infrequent. We'd have people try and bring it in, and their attempts were not very sophisticated. It's grown much larger now. We're seeing significant increases, sometimes 3- and 4-fold attempts to bring in the contraband over just the past 5 to 10 years. For the purpose of the discussion, contraband that we're most concerned about are weapons, cell phones, communications-type devices, and drugs. We in jails take a great deal of pride, as do the people in workhouses and correctional facilities, of keeping people safe. We have a duty to protect the public, our staff, and the people who are incarcerated. To that end, we want to prevent contraband from coming in. With the influx of contraband lately, we've started taking more attempts, doing everything we can reasonably to prevent items from getting in. In my jail, for example, we pat search people in the garage before they come in looking for big weapons. We check their pockets once they get inside our jail. Once we take off the cuffs, we do another pad search, and we also scan them with a metal detector to find weapons. And then on the off chance that something gets into our jail, we run drug-sniffing dogs through our facility on a frequent basis to try and find drugs. Despite that, we know drugs are getting in. I'm using my jail as an example, but in talking with my peers, this is a statewide and nationwide problem. Some of the biggest things we see people trying to bring in are drugs. So with all the devices and tools we're using now, they're still getting in. So through investigation and through follow-up through our drug people on the streets, we're finding out that a lot of people are getting in a unique way that wasn't happening when I first started here. People are internalizing the drugs. The most common way is they literally put the drugs in a balloon, swallow the balloon, and retrieve the items later. None of the tools we have now will detect that. There's nothing we can do to find those. And the scary part is, once they get those into the jail, they can take them and overdose. They can give them to someone else who can overdose. Or, depending on the drug, they may act out in such a way that they hurt somebody. For my facility, in the last 6 months, I've sent two people out on red lights and siren in an ambulance that somehow got drugs in the jail. We found out later it was through internalizing them and bringing them in. One of my counterparts at a jail up north here, they sent two staff members to the hospital. They came across a assumed drug they found in a person's cell, probably fentanyl or some derivative of that, and they ended up in the hospital. We're not that far away from a tragedy, either a death of a person we're supposed to be protecting who's incarcerated there, or a staff member or a volunteer. The tool we're talking about, these body scanners, they're in use in federal facilities now in Minnesota. They're in use in jails throughout the nation. And honestly, they're not that much different than what we walk through if we go and take a flight to Florida tomorrow on a vacation. They may look different, and I have pictures if anybody wishes to see them, but what they do is they help us detect something that's internalized. And so it's for that reason that we're looking to pass this bill that allows us to use these detection devices in our facilities.
Does anybody on the committee have a question? Would you like to pass those, give the pictures to the page, and they'll pass them around? The only thing about your testimony that I would dispute is when I worked in the jail back in the 90s, we had people bringing drugs in that fashion. Something I'm familiar with. One guy had an entire ounce of marijuana, which I thought was an amazing accomplishment, actually. Thank you. Do you have another next testifier?
Mr. Chair, yes, we do. Thank you very much, Commander. Next testifier we have is Warden Tracy Belts from the Shakopee Women's Correctional Facility.
Warden Belts, if you would state your name and title for the record, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Tracy Belts. I am a warden at Shakopee Correctional Facility, which is the only female facility for women in the state of Minnesota. We advocate very strongly for the use of a body scanner. It would immensely help us. We are struggling as well with contraband coming into our facilities, either on or within a person. It is causes significant issues. As the last example, we had a woman that went out last night, or actually the night before, who was exhibiting symptoms of a stroke, and it turns out she was positive for THC. She had been in our facility for 3 weeks. So it's coming into our facilities. It creates an unsafe environment, obviously, for everybody that is in there, including our staff. A scanner would allow us to detect those things and prevent those things from coming in. Also, it is an issue with the women. I'm concerned about their health. If we know that they have something ingested or within them that is foreign to them, we can get them medical treatment and get rid of whatever it is that they have ingested or inserted. Another concern that I have is that we have kids in the facility. You know, we are the only female facility. We have a greater deal of contact when it comes to the women that we have that are incarcerated with us and what their children are able to do. So drugs in the facility is not a good thing. The other thing is just the victimization that these women have suffered in the course of their lives. Many of them come in with trauma issues. scanner, to my understanding, would allow somebody to scan a body without a physical unclothed body search, which would be less traumatic for the women that have to undergo that process. Additionally, with staff don't enjoy the process of an unclothed body search. This would make it easier on both parties. Additionally, safer facilities are paramount for the programming that we have that we use to hopefully reduce their chances of coming back, which is imperative to our mission about recidivism reduction. So anything that can help us create a safer facility allows that type of programming to flourish with inside of it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Warden. Representative Poston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, to the author or the warden. Are there any health risks to the security staff that operate this machine all day long at all?
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that the radiation levels, and I know just a very little about the scanners. We've had somebody come and demonstrate, and the radiation levels are extraordinarily low. You have more of a chance of getting a higher dose of radiation by eating a banana or going on a long flight. Those are the two things I remember.
Follow-up
question?
I am glad to hear that, and I'm no longer going to eat any bananas.
Stuck with me.
Just another question, Mr. Chair. What is the cost of a piece of equipment like this?
Warden?
I can't answer that. I am not sure. I don't want to... Okay. Oops.
Previous specifier seems to know if you want to come down and answer that real quickly.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, the price of this machine depends on which brand you buy. Generally speaking, they start out around $150,000. They can go as high as $300,000 or $400,000, depending on all the bells and whistles you get on it. There are enough agencies interested in Minnesota that we've already talked about trying to do a bulk purchase to drive the price down and possibly even get on a state contract once we have identified somebody that could do that for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick follow-up. How many of these machines do you need?
It would depend quite a bit on the facility. The warden can speak to the correctional facilities. Jails of my size, you're probably talking one unit. I'm a 238-bed jail. Smaller jails would only need one unit. The bigger jails like, St. Paul, New Ramsey County, Hennepin County, they might need a couple of machines. But we're not talking machines everywhere in the jails, primarily to screen people as they come in.
Thank you, Commander. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Christensen.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to both of you. Are these scanners used anywhere in the state right now? Did I miss that? Or, you know, or are other states using the scanners? Just wondering if you've talked with other folks, perhaps in other states, that are using them.
They're actually using them in the federal facilities in Minnesota right now. We actually went down and did a site visit to look at how they used it, how it was set up, how much space it takes. And they are using it in numerous other states, and they've run into similar issues where they've had to modify their bills or the state laws to allow the use by non-medical staff.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Representative. I guess I have two questions. These are actually quite similar to what they're using at the airport, though, aren't they? I mean, right now?
They may look different, but they basically operate the same way.
And my second question is that you would also then be able to use them not only on people but mail and things like that to really very carefully check those kind of things also?
No, these are not made to look at mail.
Shucks.
We would use them in other ways within the jail. You could literally, if you're concerned somebody has some hidden in a mattress, stand a mattress in the machine, it'll do the scan for you. And I know of some jails that do that. For mail, we're pretty confident we're catching all the drugs. Most of us, you know, like we use drug-sniffing dogs periodically, and we use it often enough that people don't try and bring drugs in through the mail because they know there's a good chance they'll get caught. So we're comfortable on that side. We're more concerned about the drugs people are internalizing.
Thank you. Representative Tafke, do you have any? Well, hold on, I'm sorry. Is there anybody from the public that would like to come down and testify? Don't see anybody. And all the reps have gotten their questions answered.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Tafke, do you have any last words?
No, I just appreciate everyone hearing this bill today as informational, and it is going next Wednesday. It will be at Health and Human Services, so it will be there for its first official vote on the bill, and then it will travel through Ways and Means, I'm told, after that. So as this moves forward, I just appreciate everyone's support and appreciate everyone in the committee signing on to this bill as co-authors, and really appreciate everyone's support.
Thank you, Representative Tafke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And just reiterate, I believe every single member of the committee has signed the bill as a co-author. That doesn't happen real often. Okay, next we have Representative Zerwas doing a hearing on the bill that he's done a lot of work on. So, Representative Zerwas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House File 339 is a bill that we heard in the House previously, was passed, was included in the supplemental budget bill that was subsequently not signed last year. It was a bipartisan bill that went through both chambers with no objections that we're aware of from the previous administration. House File 339 deals with the gang database for offenders. Currently, all legally identified gang members are purged from the gang database system after 3 years after their last record of a conviction or adjudication or stay of adjudication. What individuals have found is that sometimes we're purging folks because they're not having run-ins with the police, not because, in fact, they're no longer gang-affiliated or their illegal conduct has ceased, but because they are within a state prison. And so they're not having regular contact with law enforcement outside of the facility. And so what this piece of legislation would do is, if the Department of Corrections documents gang activity and gang-related activity that the individual is complicit in while incarcerated, it would trigger a mechanism to not start that three-year countdown to purge them from the gang data system until they are released from the Department of Corrections. And so if someone is involved in gangs while on the inside, they're not purged from the gang database system while they're inside, that three-year clock begins when they're released. Again, the gang-related behavior would need to be documented by the Department of Corrections, who currently documents and monitors gang activity and illegal activity within our prisons. I have Chief Jeff Potts from the Bloomington Police Department here to offer support for the bill on behalf of the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association.
Chief, would you state your name and title for the record? And
sure.
Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, my name is Jeff Potts. I'm the police chief of the city of Bloomington and the current vice president of the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association. Our association represents more than 500 law enforcement leaders, including more than 300 active police chiefs in communities large and small, urban and rural across the state. I want to thank Representative Zerwas for authoring this bill, Chair Considine for putting the bill on the agenda today, and all of you for your time this morning as you hear what our members feel is a very important piece of legislation. The Criminal Gang Investigative Data System is one resource police officers use to investigate criminal activity and obtain information on people who are suspected of crimes. It's a tool used by police officers on the street to help them get a better understanding of someone's gang affiliation. Currently, all legally identified gang members are purged from the data system 3 years after the last record of conviction or adjudication or state adjudication of an individual. What we have found is that many individuals are having their names purged while incarcerated, but still participating in gang activity while in prison. This change would start the three-year clock upon release if the individual is still participating in ongoing gang criteria while incarcerated. And that, as Representative Zerwas has mentioned, would have to be documented and would have to meet the current statute for gang-related activity. The Department of Corrections would monitor and document that. Officer safety is being jeopardized as people are removed from the list, even though they are still behaving in violent as a violent gang member. This bill before you today would make this a better tool and a more sound resource. It will help officers better protect themselves and the citizens they serve in their communities. Our association stands in full support of this bill. It closes a loophole that allows incarcerated individuals who are still participating in documented gang activity while incarcerated to be purged from the database. We're concerned that if the officers don't have this information once the individuals are released from prison, that it could jeopardize their safety and the safety of their community. I thank you for your time and ask you for your support on this bill, and also available for questions if you have any.
Thank you, Chief. Are there any questions from the committee? Are there any questions or anyone that wishes to testify in the audience? Seeing no one, we will move on with the bill. This was a good bill last year, and it's a good bill this year. And this one also, I believe, has unanimous support on the committee, does it not?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe it does. And just again, for just a moment to acknowledge, Mr. Chair, this is a bill that I've worked on for the last few years, and along with some other bills, and you've been very supportive and helpful of me continuing to work on these bills, even though we're no longer in the majority. I just really appreciate that teamwork approach, and looking forward to working with you for the rest of the session.
Thank you. With the abbreviated meeting, we can adjourn. Chief Potts, if you have just a second, I would like to chat with you and you guys in the second row also.
Mr. Chair, before we adjourn.
Hold on. I haven't hit the gavel yet. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question. So I have a memo that is sending a bill to this committee, Grossel's Bill 421, pertaining to penalties assaulting firefighters or medical personnel. And I'm just wondering, why is it coming to this committee? Because I don't see how that pertains directly to correction.
Actually, the committee administrator and you agree on that. I will actually defer to him, and we'll talk about it. But, yeah, he has some concerns. It's not in our jurisdiction, so that's why it's not on the docket today. And then the other one with the correctional thing, we didn't get the language to you in time. So we will try to do better.
Thank you. Yes, it's important to be able to read the language before I can approve the language that it's
give
you my blessing. So I appreciate the question. Right. Okay, thank you, Chair.
All right. Anybody else got anything that we messed up? Okay.